He paid the price for all of our sins and rose to give us new life. Father, we praise you that all of us here today who have put our faith and trust in him alone are saved. We're on our way to heaven by your gift, not something we earn, not something we work for. We couldn't. Our sins are, even one sin would keep us from heaven. We cannot earn this. It's only a gift from your hands, and we praise you for it. And even as we trusted Jesus for our salvation, we trust him as we sang day by day in this life, walking with him. We don't please you by our own efforts. We please you by believing on you and trusting and following you, being filled with your Spirit, having him work through us. Father, we thank you for all of these things, for your abundant grace and mercy and gift to us. And we pray that as we worship together, that we will be reminded of these things, that we will rest in you in the work that Christ accomplished, and walk in him, walk by the Spirit as you have commanded us to do. We pray that you would use us mightily for your kingdom and your glory. We come here each Sunday to worship you and seek your face and hear your word proclaimed, that we might learn and grow and be stronger servants of yours. We pray that you will bless this hour as we continue in it. Thank you that you are here. You promised you'd be here. That's one of the things we trust. We know it's true because you've said it. And we pray that you would bless everything that is done in this hour, our worship time, our singing, our praying, the announcements that are shared, and as the messages brought by Pastor, fill him with your Spirit, speak through him, bless him as he shares with us the word that he has today from your Scriptures. Father, it is a joy to be here. Thank you for each person who is here, and we pray for your rich and abundant blessing on all of us as we seek your face. May you be pleased in all that happens in this hour. And we give you thanks and praise and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
We're looking at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness and grace and love to us. We thank you for each person who is here this morning, and we pray that you will speak to each one of our hearts and help us to truly receive something that will be helpful to us from your word. We just thank you so much for the privileges that we have, this privilege of prayer, that we can call upon your name at any time and know that you hear and answer our prayers, and that you're concerned about every need that we have. We just pray this morning that you'll work in our lives and make us what we ought to be for your name's sake. We thank you for our Lord Jesus and all that he means to us, and for the salvation we have in him. I pray that each and every one of us truly knows him as our Lord and Savior. If not, may they open their hearts today to receive Christ and to know him in a personal way. Our Father, we pray this morning for those who are suffering. We pray that you'll meet their needs. We pray that you'll help each one. We think especially of Jim Moyer as he's there in hospice, and pray that you'll be with him and those who are caring for him, and pray that he will receive the very best care. Lord, we just pray for others too. We think of Donna Silverwood. We pray for her that she might soon be able to be back with us again. We pray too for Bob Gerkner at the Veterans Center, that you'll continue to bless him and meet his needs. And Lord, you know the need of every heart. We just pray that you will help us and strengthen us and give us the courage to keep going forward and do your will. We thank you for all the blessings that we have and ask you to guide and help us today. We do pray especially for our brother Steve and Dawn today on their anniversary. We pray your blessings upon them in a special way, that it might be a very special time for them. Thank you for all your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we've got once again Matthew chapter 6. We're looking at Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. We began this last week talking about the Beatitudes. And this morning we want to look at this portion of that sermon. We see here the righteousness in the heart of the believer is manifested in its relationship with God. This is the main point that we see here in the previous chapter, verse 17. Let's read here, 5:17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So the point here is, the theme of this sermon is true righteousness. What is true righteousness? The Pharisees and the scribes had their brand of righteousness by the acts that they performed. It was all outward righteousness. Instead, they did not care so much for the inner condition of their hearts, but rather what they did. And yet Jesus says, no, the most important part is what is in your heart. It's an inward, true righteousness. How do you stand in the presence of God? That's what it's all about, isn't it? It's the heart rather than the actions. Now, if our heart is right, then the actions come after, don't they? Yeah, that's the way it should be. We should bring forth fruit unto the Lord by the way we live. And here's what we're talking about here in this sixth chapter. He speaks in the beginning. There's, I think, three different points I've got here about doing the righteous acts, the alms. That's what he's speaking of there. And then prayer, praying secretly, and giving, and then the fasting. Fasting is something we don't talk a lot about. Most of us would rather eat, wouldn't we? I think that's the thing. We were talking in Sunday school this morning. Brother Steve was talking about one of the verses there about feeding their own bellies. Well, unfortunately, I think some of us have overdone that a little bit. I know I have. But anyway, we'll see what that has to say about that. So here he's talking in the beginning, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. See, again, outward action. You know, this is my purpose, and what I'm doing is in order to show myself as a good person, you know, a righteous person. And here he says, don't let that be your motivation. Don't let that be the reason that you perform the alms. And we think of alms as giving, like to a beggar or something. That's one form of alms. But the word here in this verse means righteous acts, religious works that we do. Our motive must not be to be seen of others. We need to do it as unto the Lord, right? To receive His commendation rather than the praise of the people. Our works are to be done to bring glory to God and not to ourselves. See, this is something that He wants us to do, and we should seek to be pleasing unto Him. If we only display religious devotion to God to be seen by others, then He doesn't give us any reward. He says right here, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. So we're not to be doing this just to be seen by others. We are to do it as a blessing unto the Lord. So he says in verse 2, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Can you see that? You know, they used to always say, don't toot your own horn, right? Let someone else praise you and not yourself, right? And so this is it. Apparently, what Jesus is saying here, there must have been some people back then that would actually strut down the street, blow their horn, and make it very evident that they are doing a good deed, you know, and especially in the matter of giving or whatever it might be. He says, don't toot your own horn. Don't try to see about this. It's not necessary to tell others what you're doing. He says, in verse 3, when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand is doing. Now, who is the left and right hand? Wait, I don't know. In a marriage, I guess you've got one or the other, right? Sometimes, well, it's not that you're supposed to keep secrets, I don't think. I don't want to get the wrong impression. But at the same time, we should not just do something to please others. That might be a temptation sometimes. You want to, you know, to get along with other people. But at the same time, he says, don't be like the hypocrites going around glorifying yourself. It's something, you know, I don't know. There's different kinds of people, I know. But I have difficulty with people that are so arrogant, and their pride just, you know, bubbles out of their system, doesn't it? You know? And anyway, the Lord knows. And we need to just give Him the glory and praise for all that He does. So here Jesus mentions that we should do this for His glory and for His name's sake. And He mentions, as I said, the three different things. Giving secretly, He says. He says, don't do it for everyone else to see you. And in verse 4, He says, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, Himself shall reward thee openly. So there, in our giving, He says, don't make a big deal out of it and try to impress others with what you're giving, but do it as unto the Lord. Look at Mark chapter 12 and verse 38. Mark 12, verse 38. Now Jesus said unto them in His doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. And verse 41, and Jesus sat over against the treasury, and He beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing, very little. And He called unto Him His disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So here Jesus noticed the giving. And He says, the scribes and Pharisees, they put on airs. They want to make sure everyone knows exactly how much they've given and all of the works that they do, because that's what they were depending on, see? Outward things. And they had to show everybody what they were doing. But He says, this poor widow lady, she just drops in the little bit that she has, and He says she's given more than all of the others. God sees everything that we do. And even though we might not be able to do great and mighty things, the smallest work that we do, the smallest deed that we perform, the smallest gift that we give, He sees it, you see. And we are credited with that and receive rewards in heaven. Jesus talks about that in other places, about, you know, our giving, that we give as unto the Lord and not for any recognition of men. We are to lay up treasure in heaven, right, by what we give here on earth. So it's important that God knows of what is done in secret and that He takes note of it. He will reward us if we'll do it for His glory. Okay, moving on down, we see talks about prayer here in verse 5. And when you pray, notice He says, when you pray, not if you pray, right? We are expected to pray. God, this is our opportunity, right? What a wonderful privilege it is to pray, and to pray in secret. He says here, when thou prayest. This is so important. I have a little note here from D.L. Moody on essential elements to prayer. He says, there are 9 elements which are essential of true prayer. The first is adoration. We cannot meet God on a level at the start. We must approach Him as one far beyond our reach or sight. The next is confession. Sin must be put out of the way. We cannot have any real communion with God while there is any transgression between us. Restitution is another. We have to make good the wrong wherever possible. Thanksgiving is the next. We must be thankful for what God has done for us already. Then comes forgiveness, and then unity. And then, for prayer, such as these things produce, there must be faith. Thus influenced, we shall be ready to offer direct petition. We hear a good deal of praying that is just exhorting. And if you did not see the man's eyes closed, you would suppose he was preaching. Right? Then much that is called prayer is simply finding fault. There needs to be more petition in our prayers. After all these, there must come submission. While praying, we must be ready to accept the will of God. So that's from D.L. Moody. And he's going through here this portion that we call the Lord's Prayer, right? The one that Jesus taught his disciples, the model prayer, the disciples' prayer, whatever name you want to put on it. He says, when you pray, this is a model to follow. And here, Brother Moody mentions these elements to prayer. So important for us to keep that in our minds. Notice what he says here in verse 5. He says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So again, it's all outward. This was the problem that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had, was that everything they did was outward. There was no inward righteousness. That's the problem. And Jesus said, if your righteousness does not exceed that of the Pharisees, you won't make it in, right, to the kingdom of God. And so here he's talking about praying and praying in secret as well as praying in public. There's nothing wrong with praying in public. And we, I think we should. And we do, of course. But the main thing is, don't pray only in public, right? Pray also in secret when you go in and close your door and pray to your Father who is in heaven. Your Father who is in heaven sees what you're saying, He hears what you're saying, and He will answer according to His will and purpose. So praying secretly, not for public display, and but rather sincerely praying to your Heavenly Father. And to me, that's one of the greatest privileges that we have as children of God. Because we have that relationship with Him. And whatever our burden may be, we can bring it to Him. You know? It tells us over in James that He upbraids us not. He doesn't criticize us for what we say or what we do, right? He accepts us. And He listens to what we have to say, and He expects us to come to Him with our needs or with our praises. We've seen, first of all, the first thing He mentioned here was adoration, right? We are to praise God for who He is and all that we have. He says, enter into your closet or into your special place of prayer And when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And the Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. God will bless you. He'll answer your prayers. He will help you if you will come to Him in the right spirit and pray to Him in secret. So Jesus encourages us here to go alone in a private place and pour out our hearts before our Father in heaven. And he says, don't be like the heathen. Don't be like the hypocrites. But rather be sincere. Be honest in what you're doing. It's useless to repeat the same thing over and over and over. You know, some places, people do that. I mean, I'm sure we do pray for the same things. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, we had this, the example of the widow lady that went to the judge, you remember? And she kept coming back day after day after day after day praying. And it speaks about us speaking to our Heavenly Father. If the judge finally gave in, even though he was unrighteous, God is righteous and holy in all his ways, and he loves us. If we continue to pray to him, he says he will answer. He will answer. Maybe sometimes he wants to know if we're really sincere about the whole thing, right? Is this really a need or something else? Anyhow, we know that that's important. Don't follow the example of the heathen just repeating things for over and over and over, like the prayer wheel, you know, and all of these kind of things, or saying the same prayers over and over, like we have right here. The Lord's Prayer, it's a wonderful prayer. But you know, just to say that over and over, how many Our Fathers are we going to say this morning? you know what I mean? And no, that's not it. Just repeating that doesn't do anything. But this is the wonderful privilege that we have to call upon His name and know that if we pray from our heart, believing, He will answer our prayers. Now, we don't always get the answer we want. I know that. But He will hear us, and He will answer our prayers as we look to Him. We don't need to repeat it over and over and over again. We need to just look to Him for our strength. I had another. Alexander McLaren had something to say about it. He says, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. That's in Scripture here. Persistent prayer, however, is not necessarily vain repetition. The prayer that springs from a deep felt need may say the same things over and over. In the garden, Jesus left them and went away again the third time saying the same words. Jesus prayed the same words, and certainly nothing wrong with that, right? He doesn't make mistakes. And yet his heart was burdened, so he continued to pray the same thing over and over. So it's not vain repetition necessarily when we repeat our prayers. If it's something that is really on our heart, God certainly understands all of that. So pray in pray genuinely. Here, pray from the heart, following the example that Jesus gives us here in the Lord's Prayer. Notice it says in verse 9, pray this way, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May your name be praised and honored and respected and reverenced and glorified above all others. So we're praying to our Heavenly Father, the one who loves us, and pray in a genuine way. I have a note here from A.C. Dixon, another great preacher. He says, pray genuinely, not as the hypocrites. Hypocrites means play actors. You know, it's like actors on the stage. That's what a hypocrite is. And don't put on a show, but be real. and pray genuinely to the Lord. Pray secretly, as we said, and then pray definitely. Use vain repetitions as one word in the Greek and means primarily to stammer. When you're just, you know, saying the same thing over and over, and it doesn't really mean anything. God wants us to express our needs in a clear, intelligent way. And then pray, he says, fraternally, our Father. Do you notice that? All through the prayer, it's not my Father. It's not your Father, necessarily. But it's our Father. We're all united together, huh? The body of Christ, the believers, the church that Jesus founded, we are his people, and we can pray fraternally. And then pray reverently, as we just read this. Hallowed be thy name. Show reverence to the Lord for all that he is, and acknowledge that, and rejoice in who he is. So he says, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. This is our request, isn't it? And as far as we keep going along, it becomes more and more our request, I think. Thy kingdom come. Lord, where are you? Huh? Come on. And so we want to be with him. We want his kingdom to come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What do you think? When we get to heaven, God's will is accomplished there, isn't it? It's always his will. In heaven, he says, make that to be so on earth. You know, and that will be when Jesus comes again, when he sets up his kingdom, when we have peace and tranquility and all of that. It'd be wonderful to have his will done on earth. My goodness. Certainly not being done now, is it? Very, very little. And he starts the request. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, we don't need to ask for something way off in the future, necessarily. I mean, it's okay to plan, I think, and try to get ready for the future, but the main thing is day by day that God will meet our needs as we look to him in faith, believing. And then he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, I hope none of us has anything against anyone, because it's important that we forgive those who do something contrary to our will, right? He says to God, forgive us our debts in the same way that we forgive others, right? It's important to do that. He says, forgive men. Oh, wait a minute, here it is. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, I don't know how you interpret that, but that's what it says. And I say at least, I know we're forgiven by what Jesus did on the cross. And there's no question about that, right? We have eternal life through his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Here Jesus is still in looking forward to the kingdom and all that, and telling people how they're supposed to be living, right? But we can apply this at least to ourselves and say God wants us to forgive, right? You see that in there? I think so. And so we should forgive and allow the Lord to forgive us of all of our trespasses, and that we might walk with him day by day. It has nothing to do with our eternal salvation. That's settled if we have our faith in Christ. But day by day we need to have fellowship with him. We need to walk with him, and we need to have that forgiveness that he offers. But he also says we should forgive others. That's important. The last thing here is about fasting. Now, I don't know how many of you fast. This is something that they did a lot back in the day when Jesus was here, right? I understand the Sadducees, the Pharisees and Sadducees, fasted twice a week. I think it was Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm not sure. But anyway, whatever days they had. Anyhow, he says here in verse 16, moreover, when you fast. So he says you should. Be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. Don't put on a big show. Once again, it's outward appearance, right? That's all they live for. He says, no, don't put on a sad face. Go ahead and wash your face, fix yourself up, and don't let anyone know that you're fasting. Now, they did have certain fast days that they had. The Day of Atonement, the time of the New Year, they fasted. And as I said, some of them fasted twice a week. And he says, whenever you do fast, don't put on a big show. So it's the same idea of praying in public or, you know, not in private. And fasting so that others will think, oh my, what a spiritual person he is, right? No, that's not it at all. It's for some particular burden that we might have. And when you fast, he says, be not as the hypocrites. Don't put on a big show. But thou, when thou fastest, he says, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that you appear not to men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father who sees in secret shall reward thee openly. So it's the same thing all the way through. When you give something, only God should know what it is, right? And when, I don't mean, well, maybe I shouldn't say that. But anyway, that should not be your motivation, in other words, to do it before other people. And or in a matter of prayer. You're praying to God. And then the other one is the fasting. We should do that in secret as well. God might see what we're doing and reward us for it. I had a couple of verses here. Let's look at Isaiah 58:5. I'm going to finish in just a few minutes. Don't get too excited. Isaiah 58:5. Here, notice this is something about fasting. It says, is it such a fast that I have chosen, the Lord says, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. So here he's saying that's what he's more concerned about, is how we treat other people and meeting their needs and undertaking for them in their time of need. And that's the kind of fast that he would enjoy. Jesus told his followers that when they fast, not to make an outward show, but to fast in secret. And that's in Joel 2. Let's look at that for a minute. One other reference, that's it. Joel 2, verse 12. I did put a marker. Joel. I know it's in the Old Testament, isn't it? I had it before. Honestly, I did. Oh, my goodness. This is just so embarrassing, you know? I put a marker in, and I don't know what happened to it. Anyway, Joel. Hosea Joel, I believe, right? Here it is. I got it. 2:12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Anyway, we find here he's talking about the importance of being sincere and honest in our fasting or in whatever else we are doing, that it might be to the praise of God and not just to be seen of others. So here, the whole point here that we're making in this, Jesus is making, is that we should do things sincerely and honestly in the sight of God rather than to impress other people. So in all of our worship, devotion to God, Jesus said, be sure that you're not doing it just to be seen. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Here he gives examples of giving, praying, fasting, and there's many others I'm sure that we could mention. So let's be sure that we are seeking to honor and glorify God and enjoy his presence when we seek to accomplish these things, in praying and in seeking to give and even in fasting, may it be for the right purpose. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your precious word to our hearts today, and pray that you'll help us that we might honor you and serve you in the way we should. May we truly love you, serve you, and reverence you in every area of life, and may we be a blessing one to the other. In Jesus' name, amen.